Blog Talk Radio.
Guys, hope all is well. Welcome to the Steve Anderson Radio Show. Guys, this is episode 96. 96 episodes, believe it or not. Our time passes so fast. Oh, gosh. 96 episodes, guys. I'm glad to have you on the show tonight for your listeners. And also, too, guys, if you're on a call-in line to participate, you can call in at 563-999 3665. That's 563-999-3665. Also, guys, for in the future to go back and listen to previous shows or the show later, however, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Stevie Anderson Radio. Yes. And the topic tonight, guys, before let me give you some breaking news first. With breaking news, President Biden Secret Service, I believe it's up to 5 to 7 service cars. It was a sudden explosion or fire situation going on with that. So we keep prayers and make sure no one is hurt and find out who's doing that crap, right? So let's keep prayers going on for that. At the same time, too, I was doing a topic previous last couple of weeks, and I just wanted to say for a lot of the guys or family members that have had players that played at Grambling State University or any other universities, all you can do is pray. First of all, the sport is already a dangerous sport, number one. And number two, that they can go and go through school, get their degrees, move on in life, have families, and enjoy life and their kids, and just be proud parents of that. Some guys are keep moving on to play other sports professionally, and some guys, at the end of the day, God has an answer for all the reasons. Let's not tend to forget that. God has an answer for all the reasons things are happening. So let's not stay shy of that. While I'm doing this talking right now, we have Alan Jones. I believe this is Alan. Alan, this is Mr. Jones? Alan. Okay. I thought I had someone on the call right now. I thought it was Alan. But
no,
maybe
me.
This is Ms. Gibson Westbrook?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay. Okay. So we have Ms. The co-host, Ms. Fabulous and famous Deborah Gibson Westbrook online right now. So I was just reading some things just about the President Biden Secret Service vehicles were had some type of a fire explosion. So get prayers after that. And I was just breaking down some things that I read something about. I'm just saying that a lot of parents out there with kids is playing young men playing football in college. Just keep your prayers going on, and at the end of the day, God has the answers for all of it. You know, some guys will play professionally, some guys will not, some guys will go into other professions. So at the end of the day, God has the answers and reasons down the road that we cannot see and that we don't know. So moving forward with that, the definition, the net for the show, the topic tonight, this episode 96, it said, is it okay to hire friends, family, groups, knowing they don't have the skill set? Okay? Is it okay to hire friends, family, groups, knowing they don't have the skill set for that position or positions? And I'm going to give you guys the definition of skill set I have here. It said a person's range of skills or abilities. Ms. Deborah Gibson Westbrook, you know they have a biblical term, right? So I'm going to give you the biblical term of skill set. A lot of the guys probably didn't know it. I really didn't know it either, guys. I'm going to tell you I didn't. All right, so the biblical term of meaning of skill set, it says Proverbs 29th verse, it says this. It said, do you see any truly competent workers? I'm going to say it again. It said, do you see any now, don't get mad at me. I'm just saying, this is in the book now. This is in the book. Now, look, I grew up in the church, right?
Yes, we did.
Do you remember we used to have vacation Bible school, and they had little Oreo cookies or little cookies, those vanilla cookies, and some Kool-Aid, and look, you couldn't wait to get to those cookies and Kool-Aid, because it's Mr. Zeno Senior, that was a great time, though. Great times, right? But no, biblical terms. So it said the meaning of the skill set. It said, do you see any truly competent workers? And God said, competent meaning having the necessary knowledge or ability, right? They will serve kings. They will serve kings. Meaning that the people that you're hiring, knowing they don't have the skill set, knowing they have the skill set, these people will be representing you in front of major other people, CEOs, et cetera.
Right.
So rather than working for ordinary people. Hold on 1 second. Thanks for calling Stevenson Radio Show. Who's calling? Thanks for calling Stevenson Radio Show. You're live on the radio. Who's calling? So there's someone out there that's they're a little late. Okay, someone called in and things say. So you think what I just said. The biblical term, guys, so we grew up in a church, like I said a while ago, I got on a course for a second, is that when I grew up in a church and we go to vocational Bible school, you're lots of out there going to church, going to work, doing all the right things, but forgetting this right here, this biblical term. It's right here stating in the Bible some things that's going on. It said, do you see anything truly competent? Do you see any truly competent workers? That's 29th verse in Proverbs. They will serve kings, meaning that who you hire, knowing they don't have the skill set, but you hire them anyway.
Right.
They're going to be tested. They will be tested.
Right.
And then basically it's going to backfire on you because they're not qualified for their position or certified or have the skill set for their position. Yes, thanks for calling Stevenson Radio Show. Who's calling?
Nikki, I was speaking, but I was on mute.
Okay, how you doing? Yeah, how you doing, lady? Thanks for calling the Stevenson Radio Show. I have Ms. co-host, Ms. Deborah Goodson Westbrook on the line. And
hi, Nikki.
Episode 96 is it okay to hire friends, family, groups, knowing they don't have the skill set? What do you think about that? Ms.
Well,
Nikki?
Me personally.
Okay, and where are you from? Where are you calling from? Where are you calling from? If you want to state where you're calling from, if not, it's okay. Either way.
No, that's fine. Nikki Reynolds in South Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Personally,
all right.
I do not believe in hiring family members or friends that does not have the skill set for the position. Especially because it's a comfortability too. Sometimes they come into the job, like Stevie was stating, they're representing you. So if they don't have the qualifications or the skill set to perform the job duty, then that's going to be a representation of yourself, and that's going to be your reputation on the line too, moving forward to business.
Right.
And I've had that experience with bringing in family members. as a major role at my job, and it cost me a lot, and it cost my reputation. So I think God allows us to go through different experiences for a reason. So moving forward in life,
right.
when He gets ready to set you up with more blessings, you know what to do and what not to do. Sometimes it's best just to work with qualified people and you know, move forward with knowing that you're working with people that are qualified for the job and that's going to perform and not a relative per se.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's my take on it, my outlook on it.
I'll let Ms. Gibson give you a question, and then I'll give you a question, then we'll let you go if that's okay. Ms. Gibson, you have anything to comment on that?
Well, actually, I want to add to a great, great response. I love it. I love it. Totally agree with you. A person asked me at the gas station, said I had, because when I travel, I wear G everything. So I came in from Texas. I'm in Louisiana right now. But anyway, they said, okay, G, Miss G, who should we fire? Should we fire the president at Grambling? Should we fire the athletic director at Grambling? Should we fire Hugh Jackson? I didn't know what to say. I was I was just stunned.
Okay.
So I want to say to the young men, on the team, congratulations. You did your best. You did your best. And if you're listening, I don't want you to feel bad at all. We love you. We always love the G-men. We love you. We support you. And it wasn't your fault. But this was a stranger. This was a total stranger. And he was just saying, so who should we fire? And I just held him. I was like, you know what? You do not want to ask me that question. Seriously.
Wow.
But I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you.
My question to Ms. Nikki, so what if jobs have you been a part of, like very, very previous, that you can kind of relate to for that the position? Well, you had to have a comment.
For me, it was working for a high-profile families in Miami. I had two high-profile cases, and I brought a lot of family members. I had issues with just the family members letting their guard down, feeling that they didn't have to carry out the task adequately because of my family. Right.
Wow.
So,
at the entire time, you know that you're a professional, and that, like you said, I think for the world is listening right now with what Ms. Nikki is breaking it down to a very, very specific, and I think a lot of us right now is listening, shaking our heads, that it does go back. And I was telling Ms. Nikki, it's in the book. And I'll be honest with you, I never knew it was in the book. And I grew up in church, but, you know, it's a lot in the book that it comes back, and it's showing you, stating right there way back in biblical times that be careful of doing this because it will come back, and it's gonna come back and bite you in the behind, you know, for you allowing this to happen because it's going to show a poor reputation of you. So, so I'm glad you called in and everything, and thank you so much, and I'm glad you listened to the show, but thanks for being very, very specific for that. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Enjoy your night. Thank you so much.
You'll have a good night. Thank you.
Oh, you too.
You
all
too.
Right, tonight. That was awesome right there. Hold on one second. Thanks for calling the Steve Anderson Radio Show. Who's calling?
Randy Hines.
How you doing, Randy Hines? Guys, this is a former NFL player, one of the smoothest, finest football players, Grambling State University alumni, went on to play the Baltimore Ravens.
Hi, Randy.
Double athlete.
Hello.
What do you think about this topic right here, man? So this thing is, do you believe it's okay to hire friends, family, groups, knowing they don't have the skill set for the position?
I think I was listening to the other young lady, the lady from South Florida. She spoke very well on that topic.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to, what she was saying, just piggyback off what she was saying, you do have to be careful of, you know, of the person's skill set, who they are, because you know, you may know them. A lot of times that doesn't go well in a lot of hiring. you know, you want to hire someone because, you know, okay, yeah, I know this, I know what this person can do, but a lot of the times you're bringing someone in, they might not be able to handle that position, you know, in a different environment because you're going off, you know, what they can do. You know, if you're a school teacher, you know, you're a basketball coach, football coach, my experience with it when in high school, my high school coach was called Cherubone. He was from Louisiana, and he came and turned the whole program around. No one knew, you know, no one knew of him. Of such, he went to Louisiana Tech, played, you know, played football there, but he came and turned the whole program around. You know, it wasn't no buddy-buddy, you know. And that's something that I'm cool with that, you know, bringing someone in that know what they're doing, they're very qualified, and but they're doing a good job at what they're doing, but they're not a friend of the program.
Well, yeah, I think the thing is, too, like you said, what's interesting that when we're talking about skill set, it's in the book, right? It's in the book. It's in the book that we all supposed to be following. I know probably a percent of us follow it, but we're trying to do our best, right, I guess. However, it said the skill set, even in the book, it says this. It said, and it's on Proverbs 29, Proverbs. And Proverbs, all about Proverbs, guys. And I'm going to have a topic, too, about do you have to be a saint to live life, you know, as a saint, or you just live an ordinary person.
Don't go there.
Yeah, that's another topic. Do you see anything truly competent workers? That's what he's asking you to ask. Yeah, he's asking you that and ask yourself that. Be honest with it, right? But he's saying, having the necessary knowledge and ability. Because knowledge and ability, that's a very broad but specific term there. What that means to me, you can have the knowledge and ability, but you have to lead out correct orders. Those orders have to be precise, not clear but crystal clear. So I agree with you too, Randy, and a lot of instances on that. And they said that if not, they would serve kings, those same people that you've hired, meaning that they're going to face people that understand what you're doing and what you're not doing, professionals.
Right.
So rather than working for ordinary people, meaning that they don't really know the skill level where it's supposed to be. Are the expectations where it's supposed to be? They don't know. It's almost as if I'm going to go out today and I'm going to teach choreographer for dancing, right? I'm going to go teach these girls how to dance, or these guys, whomever, ballet. And before I even get out there, we're trying to switch. I'm going to wear stockings, socks. I'm looking what they have on, but I don't even know which one I'm going to twirl, right? First of all, I'm going to need help to get a stretch. So, but I see the moves, I'm going to try to do the moves, but I really don't know what step to take to get in that position. Or if I take this step, it would not hurt my back, my ankle, or my calf muscle. Or if I can go to this position to get a faster turn or twist or more stability. A professional would understand that. And a professional would be able to critique that. So this is what is in the book. This is in the book that everybody that's breathing the earth is supposed to be kind of at some time, if you don't go to church, but sometimes you got to follow something. It's in the book that's saying this is what it is. But I agree with what you're saying. Ms. Gift, you want to answer?
I'm going to go. I'm glad he brought up high school because I've been in the high school system since I graduated from Grambling, actually before I graduated from Grambling. And because I don't want to miss up my chances of doing this artist in resident, but there is a president of a university, and she found me on LinkedIn, and she said, oh, my God. She said, you graduated from Grambling. I said, yes. So she contacted me, and we talked. She said, what's wrong with your school? I said, you know something? The biggest problem with my school is they hire incompetent people, and I don't care who hears this. They can be mad all they want to. When you hire a first grade person, I'm going to say first grade, you take a first grader and you put the first grader in to teach the high school class, which is math. That's what I taught math. So you go take this first grade kid and put this kid in the math class to teach the math. What you're going to get? You're going to get a room full of incompetent because first grader don't know what to do. So and now you want to blame it on the students, but it's not the students' fault because they can only do what you showed them to do. So whatever the first grader showed them to do, that's what they're doing. And so she was trying to figure out how to find money for me to come to the university to do artist in residence. I do artist in residence. And she said, we're not going to be able to afford you. I said, no, you will. You will. She said, oh, my God. It's like we have those of us who are competent, and I know we are competent. We have been looked over, and I'm saying it. We have gotten looked over for years for incompetent people. And so the students are graduating from the schools, and Grambling is just one of them because that's where I went, but it's like a lot of them do that. But they graduate, and then when they come into the professional world to do these jobs, they are clueless because their instructors were incompetent. And so you have to look at, well, who's to blame? The blame goes back to the person who hired the incompetent person. And when you go look at their profile, they were incompetent too. Because I do research. I go back and I look. I find profiles. I look at history, and I look at, I just don't look at the fact that, oh, he coached it. Oh, he coached for the Raiders. Or, oh, he taught here, he taught there. I go back at that person's resume from high school. I go deeper. And I want to see, why did this person get this job? And it showed that that person got that job because he was somebody's frat brother, or she was somebody's sorority sister, or she was somebody age, had no business in that position. So these kids go through school, the kids that come through their classes, and they come out just as incompetent. I'm a very smart person. I came from a very smart family. Stevie Anderson's mother was my fourth grade teacher. She tore our butt up. But you can believe when you left her classroom, you was going to have an A. Because Miss Anderson didn't play, she didn't joke, and we learned. And she wanted us to be smart. She said, you're going to leave here smart. And she was right. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's to add on to what the young lady was saying.
And that had been a topic, too. I want to talk about that, too, get into that. But, she before she passed away, she said she always bragged on all of her students that went on to college or, you know, graduated from high school, went on to college, and, you know, and their families and stuff. But we have another call on the line. Very, very well said, Ms. Gibson and Mr. Heim. We have another caller on the line. Is this almighty Alan Jones? Alan Jones from out west in the hills, up there in the hills and the mountains out there.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Yes, it is. Calling from Carlsbad, California, in San Diego County.
Okay, we have Brandon.
I was listening to.
Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? Great. I was listening to the show a little earlier, and I heard all of Deborah's comments. I think you had a guest from Miami speaking eloquently on. Exactly. Okay. And in agreement with those, and of course with everything I've heard so far, it's absolutely spot on. There's one thing, only because I was involved with corporate culture and that kind of thing, you know, some of these soft skills and blah, 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 you know, the current talk in corporations. But with the nepotism, the problems that it causes, the, you know, the hit on morale and the hit on confidence and, maintaining a hard-charging, top-producing type of mindset, you know, it kind of dampens your workers to, well, it doesn't matter how hard I work or what good a job I do because I'm not going to get promoted anyway due to the special treatment, i.e. the nepotism.
Right.
But what's more important, I agree with all of those things, but there's one thing I was thinking of, and everything I had planned to say or whatever totally went out the window. It just hit me. It comes to the good fit. Just because you have a family member, let's say they're ever so royally skilled and credentialed, et cetera, even with experience, you know, years of experience or whatever, and they appear to be a great fit because they have the knowledge base. No one's going to complain with their credentials and their capability. However, our particular environment, company or school or whatever it is, let's say we're more marketing-oriented, more people-oriented, whereas this person's skill set is excellent. However, it's more a very hard engineering or very precise and, you know, fundamentally precise and that type of environment where they thrive. It can create problems if the fit isn't correct as well as the skill set.
Right.
And that can lead to, as you mentioned earlier in the, you know, in the word, well, let's say it another way. No good deed goes unpunished by you doing a, what you think is a valuable service by hiring a brother, cousin, mother, father, whatever it is. You know the old, I'm sure everyone has seen a movie where somebody's dad owns the company. Let's say it's a sawmill or whatever, okay, whatever. And he hires his younger son and his older son, except for his older son, who's supposed to be taking over the company because dad's getting older. His interest isn't there, and his skill is, even though his skill is there because he's been with dad since the beginning, his interest lies in more socially oriented aptitudes instead of you know, the precision of the cut there at the mill, the lumber, the stacks, the distribution, the logistics, everything that the young son is all about. And then later on, the dad anoints the younger son to run the mill because he's too sick to continue. And the old son has a total destruction fit, pretty much. We've all seen those things happen, all because the fit wasn't great, even though he had the skill. So there's all kind of things that can undermine you by you thinking you're doing a good, quick, and easy thing and doing, you know, but really you're doing a disservice. And all of this is pointing to that, and I totally agree. And I'll stop it there.
Okay. Yeah, I'm actually right now, too. Go ahead, Alan. Go ahead. Sorry about that. And I was going to say something, but go ahead.
Oh, no problem. But because I've seen a lot of that destruction firsthand as well internally in some of the, especially me being, having been immersed in an engineering, you know, very deep engineering oriented environment, working in close quarters and working as a huge team, you know, a very sophisticated team, a little team within a big team, a very precise team. And sometimes the top-headed, I guess, the egg-headery, you know, the propeller-headedness of some of the engineers are so deep that they can't even speak English to someone or get along with someone, however you want to term it. You know, they're so far out in left field, they don't have that slight social skill set that's necessary in order to exchange ideas without being abrasive, so that you can come to terms on a tiny project to solve this mega problem. It creates, what do they say, it turns a molehill into the mountain to have to tackle because of the lack of fit. That's what I'm getting at. It happens
all the
time.
Let me give you a definition of nepotism, because you mentioned that, and then you can go back. Nepotism is the practice of Nepotism is the practice of hiring family members regardless of their qualifications. In some cases, a relative of a company. Hold on one second. There's some noise. Okay. A relative of a company executive may be qualified to perform the job for which they are hired. The fact that he or groups as an executive, relative, an advantage over the other applicants. But when the employee, is not qualified to perform the job, then nepotism becomes counterproductive. Okay? Your executive staff begins hiring family members because they need jobs, but the family members' lack of qualifications and ability can affect your company's profitability.
Okay. Right.
So I want to go ahead and specify
exactly
what you said earlier when you were saying nepotism. So I want to go ahead and say that. But go ahead, Ms. Gibson. You were saying something?
See, that's,
oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Are you talking to me?
No, let Alan finish.
Oh, okay. Just real quickly, and I'll put the end cap. The whole point of the social fit is because it creates problems, the problems aren't dealt with because of nepotism. You know, the
exactly.
family member gets all kind of leeway to act out and do this disruptive to the teams and all of this, whereas anyone else does that, that's grounds for insubordination or whatever, firing, you know, all of those things are covered. But lastly, Aristotle said it best, and I'll cut it off there. Aristotle said, let the equals be treated equally and the unequals treated unequally. And what he was saying was, basically, you know, when you are hiring people based on their meritocracy, you know, what they can do and what they're qualified to do and how well they do it, then they should be all treated equally. But when you bring someone in who hasn't gone through those hoops, like a family member or whatever, then you start getting them, whether you want to or not, you end up giving them more times than not an unfair advantage of treatment and sleight of rules and all this. And when other people see that, they go, we couldn't do that. We can't get away with that. We could be sanctioned. That creates the downward spiral of, well, I'm not going to try so hard because I know I'm not going to get promoted then, and I, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought Aristotle's quote was spot on, and it is exactly true, that simply put.
We also have a call on We have a call right now. We got Scotty Anderson. I don't know who that guy is. I think he's my younger brother, I believe. Scotty Anderson's on the phone call.
Scotty,
Detroit Lions.
Also,
you listen,
I'm
Scotty.
So
what do you think about that?
I'm listening.
Okay.
He's right about that, though, because you get a lot of stuff. You know, the family get away with a lot of stuff, so you got to hire the right people. But, you know, I'm listening. Go ahead.
I want to say one thing. You know, everybody probably has a little knee-jerk reaction to nepotism, because I bet you everybody on this call, on this podcast, has experienced or seen it firsthand a nepotism-based situation that did not go over well.
Right.
I know I have.
I've
seen it.
Yes.
We have Randy Himes also, too, on the line. Randy, you want to say something? Then, Ms. Gibson, go ahead. Go ahead, Randy.
Okay. Go on, Randy.
It's so much that goes behind it. You know, just hiring friends. A lot of it just is not even family. It's hiring friends. Trying to look out for somebody. You know, for a job, who don't, you know, who's looking for a job, and someone trying to look out for, you know, for a buddy, for, you know, for a place, what they call it, a place sister, you know, to, you know, to help them with salary, you know, to put money in their pocket, and not realizing that they, you know, putting everybody in harm's way when doing so. Like you said, if I think Ms. Gibson said it, if something goes wrong, then the person who did the hiring is going to be the one that's going to be looked upon, going to be frowned upon. It's just a lot. If the person is qualified, I just think if the person is very qualified, whether they're family or friend, they're very qualified, hire that person, you know, because they can do some change in the community, because that's what it's about. It's about impacting the community. When you think about all the hiring from a school teacher, from a football coach, basketball coach, if they can affect the community, you know, have a real great impact, you know, then, you know, it should be some consideration. Not saying you got to hire that person right off the bat, but, you know, before the hire, you know, if that person is affecting the community before the hire,
Okay, don't forget now, we're saying skill set. We're saying skill set, because you can have a lot of people that's qualified, but do they have that particular skill set? So
that's what I'm saying, too. They got the skill set, yeah, they qualified and they have the skill set, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but it's a toss-up. It's 50-50 because you don't, you know, it's always going to be a 50-50.
It's always something you said that, too, because I want to get into what you're saying, Randy, before the show ends, about employers must be driven, like you're saying, they must be drug tested. All this goes into factor when you're hiring people, like you're saying, friends, buddies, drug test backgrounds, safety issues, professional and appearance, right? Because you have some family members, they think they just going to come in like they want to come in, right? Now, you're up there in a professional manner. You have to wear your clothes a certain way of appearance, or the company or the CEOs of those industries or companies, that's required, right? But all of a sudden, the family member, I'm going to wear mine this way. You know, man, come on, you know how I do my thing.
Right.
You know. So then you have timelines, okay, colleagues, and you have respect themselves, honorable, trustworthy. So these are the things that we're going to try to get in tonight that we're going to go through. But basically what you're kind of hitting on already, Randy. But let me say this to you guys. There are restrictions, right? What are the restrictions on the employment of relatives, right? It says specific restrictions on the employment of relatives are also set forth at 5 U.S.C. Section 3110, which predates the codification of prohibited personnel practices. What is the purpose of this provision? Nepotism. Nepotism comes from the Latin word for nephew, the same thing which you just went with, and is defined, as I was saying, as defined as patronage, bestowed, or favoritism shown on the basis of family relationships. I want to say that right quick. But go ahead, Ms. Gibson, what were you about to say? We're kind of touching on what Randy said.
The state of Louisiana has a law against nepotism, and even though it still subsists in some kind of way. And yes, because of all of the reasons that's been stated, you take your daughter, your son, or your sister, your brother, and you place them in a position that they are totally and completely clueless. You know, they don't have the experience, they don't have the degree, do not have the education, but you stupidly, I call it stupid, that's me saying that, you stupidly put this person in this position knowing that they have none of the experience for the position, and now you've placed the company in trouble, and trouble after trouble comes, EEOC comes, lawsuits comes, a whole lot of negative stuff comes from that. And so, yes, I've experienced the nepotism, and unfortunately, it's at my university, and it's ugly, and it's nasty, and it's wicked, and the department, and the students, and the kids, they suffer because of it. They do. How does it stop? That's the question. You know, how does it stop?
That's another topic. We'll get into that. I love that, what you just said. Also, too, we have a caller, guys. Caller, thanks for calling the Steve Anderson Radio Show. We have all pro Randy Himes, Baltimore Ravens, for Scotty Anderson, Detroit Lions. We have the philosopher, Alan Jones, scientist, encryption, and then we have the professional dancer, and professional Arquise Ballet, all the accolades, actress, and the whole nine. Ms. Deborah Gibson Westbrook, who's calling, please?
This is Kevin Patrick.
Kevin Patrick, how are you doing this evening? Where are you from, Kevin?
I'm well. I'm actually in Denver, Colorado, but I'm from Oakland. I actually went to Grantland as well. I was a little younger.
All right.
I was a little younger than Deborah, but I remember her dancing.
Okay.
Yeah, what a great topic. I thought about this topic, what strikes me is this factor of who you trust. A lot of times I wonder why when the new head football coach comes to a new team, you know, why doesn't he pick up some of the staff from the old team? Why does he bring – so what I was thinking about is just a trust factor. You know, when you're the CEO of a company, when you're picking your executive board, you know, there's other nuanced things that actually go into it. And depending on – so it's hard to see, but I'm always mindful about the things that that help maintain the infrastructure and build it up. And I think a lot of it is who you can trust. And it may not be right, but it's a big deal. And it's across the board. I mean, it transcends, you know, race, gender, even whatever part of the country you're in. I mean, so I just wanted to throw that out there to say, I don't think that it's, best to hire people that aren't qualified for sure. But I do want to say that it's this unmeasurable, tangible, that, you know, if it's close to a tie or if somebody is, not as good as best, but he's trustworthy. So anyway, I just stopped there. I wanted to bring up the trust.
No, what you're saying, okay, I'll tell you this right now. So I'm working on something that's very, very major in a sense, right? And actually it's going to require a board because I want it to be professional. I want it done right. That means that, yeah, you may have the key, but you don't have all the keys, right? And right. we're going to make sure that whatever path that we're on, we're going to make sure it's balanced, it's fair, and it's operating correctly. Because one day, guess what? I may not see what you see as a professional. I may not see and understand, but all of a sudden, I just want to take it my way. No, it's not about your way. It's not about your way. So what you say, if you go into, because this was the interesting thing to me, and I'm glad you called into the show, and I thank you for the topic. Okay. But the thing about it is this. I didn't realize this is in the book, right? So it said, do you see many truly competent workers? He's asking us.
Competent is the word. Competent.
Competent workers. So what you're saying, exactly what you're saying is that if not, hiring your friends, relatives, or groups that you know that absolutely does not have the skill set. And even the comments, everyone is agreeing with what you're saying. Like, no. No, because the fact is, it's going to come back in front of professional people going, you have to answer to them now. And then they're going to start throwing questions, Q&As to you, and then you're not going to be able, those people are not going to be able to answer them. So what you're saying is spot on. It's spot on. Guys, you want to say anything, Ms. Gibson? Go ahead.
I just want to say that because my heart is for the kids that's not receiving. We got taught. I can say that when I was at Grambling, we had some great teachers. We did. And even before, that's why I always talk about Stevie's your mom, because she was such a great teacher. Seriously, she was. I mean, and she really didn't even have to teach the fourth grade. She could have been teaching any grade she wanted to, really, because she was one of my favorite teachers. She was just full of information. She was just full of information, and I wanted to just get all I could. But my heart go out to the young people who are being robbed. They're being robbed because of the incompetence. The incompetence of the people, and then when the truth is all over everywhere, everybody can see it now. It's not hidden anymore. That's why I said the stranger walked up to me and said, "Okay, Miss G, who do we fire?" Mm-hmm. I mean, a total stranger. I didn't know this person. So mm-hmm. Where do you start? Where do you start? Because the kids are suffering and they're losing, and they're not going to be equipped to come into that world that Alan was speaking about and Hines was talking about, you know, once they have to get out there and apply themselves, and they can't because they don't know what to do because incompetent people were their teachers.
Mm-hmm. Also, too, we have another call online. Thanks for calling the Students Radio Show. You want to join in? Who's calling?
Yeah, I'm calling from the Midwest. Well, the answer to your question is broad. It's not just concentrated. It depends. Like the lady said, a person may be incompetent. Competent just means you show up to work every day. That don't mean you're able to perform the task. And then it also depends on what state you're in. Some states have hire and fire at will. And if it's a private company, if the person being hired, are they related? And they are being placed in position in order to get experience and understanding of how that particular aspect of the business works, because they may be in some form position of management one day. So it just depends. But it is well worth the note. But and you know something else too. Some jobs, you don't expect some ethnic groups to do well in because they haven't been experienced in that, believe it or not. So there's a lot of parameters there.
Okay, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Alan, you want to touch on that?
Yes, absolutely. That exposure is a big thing because different levels of economic capability, social capability, and all. That's what I meant by the soft skills. They aren't capable of acting within that environment if they're not, you know, if those skills are not conducive to that environment, be it, you know, this is a marketing-oriented environment, you know, a lot of social interaction with clients, et cetera. This one is more of a standalone, chain you to a desk and program all day by yourself. Okay, well, you don't need social skills there. So different. Mm-hmm. Not only is it the skill set of actually performing the task at hand to a very, you know, high degree of certainty, paired with that is the fit, which is some of the soft skills also which come into play. Because look at it this way. This is what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. When you have someone that is very well versed in the task at hand, they're top achievers, you might say, they become the authorities in that department, in that discipline, et cetera, or that job, or whatever you want to group it as. Now, once once they become expert level, they become the subject matter expert locally. All of a sudden, they're, like you said, move into management, upper management or whatever. Now they automatically become, because of their vision over the whole department and then via how it plugs into the whole company, whatever, they kind of become the gatekeepers to very valuable distributed knowledge that can't be gotten at the lower levels. Keeping them in those positions of, you know, meritocracy, the more you do, the more you're responsible for, the more you get promoted. You know, that climate is maintained. Once you introduce nepotism, it starts quickly eroding that delicate fabric that you just wove of ensuring, you know, making people feel secure in their offering their greatest skill set, their greatest, their greatest involvement in the company and in their job, because they know that doing a good job consistently over a set period of time, they have a great chance of being promoted. Nepotism comes in. Oh, well, I'm promoting my cousin who I hired, remember, 6 months ago now to the head warehouse manager and supervisor. And normally that takes like a 5-year minimum, you know, to understand all the machinations of the job and the company. And this guy gets it in 6 months, and this other guy's been there 10 years and knows every crumb, every rat trap in that whole warehouse and how everything works, even the complete customer list and how to handle them. And he doesn't get promoted. Right. What do you think his work quality is going to be from that day forward? Headed downhill, exactly. So that's why nepotism is nothing but a cancer to a company. At more times than not. Not always. I'm just saying when it's not a good fit and when the high level of skill that's necessary is not there. That's all.
Go ahead. Anyone want to chime in on that? Okay. No, what's right. Okay, this is another thing, too. What are the dangers of hiring friends, okay, family?
Okay. I sent this to you. All right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So, okay, that was Scott. I thought Scott was chiming in. I real Scott, I'm not sure. Okay, so what are the dangers of hiring friends and family in workplace, right? So it said, while there are few laws and regulations preventing nepotism and non-government, what he brought in a while ago, he came through like the weather. Young gentleman that came in and broke some things down and kept going. And he got right to the point, right? He got right to the point. He said Midwest got right to the point, some things on his mind. He gave it to us right quick, some very, very knowledgeable information we just dropped off. But also, too,
from the Midwest.
Yes, from the Midwest. Next to it is non-government businesses. There are laws against discrimination, risk peaks where discrimination and nepotism cross paths, right? So they cross paths. So it's that's basically what he was kind of saying in a sense. I'm reading basically what he was saying. So what's the big deal, right? Decisions not based on performance and or job duties can provide a disgruntled employee with grounds of discrimination lawsuit under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, protecting race, religion, sex, age, and national origin. And are under Equal Pay Act, EPA. Okay, I just wanted to say that. You know, I said how people are valuable and emotions, like he said a while ago, he just said this now, emotions run high in the workplace, even without friend and family issues, especially where money is involved. I'm going to say it again. Let me go back and say that. How people valuable and emotions run high in the workplace, even without friend and family issues, especially where money is involved. Familiar relationships necessarily carry a lifetime of history and baggage, which becomes part of the decision-making mix, like it or not. I found that. That's a piece right there. But let me tell you guys something. I'm going to give you guys something that was serious but also too funny. So I think my younger brother Scott is a witness. Scott, are you listening? Can you listen for a second?
I'm listening
right now. Okay. Okay. I hear a chime right now. I don't know if that. Let me turn that off. Okay. Hold on a second. Let me listen.
Door opening.
Okay. So I'm gonna put him on mute for a minute. I guess he's getting out the car. But let me say this. So in Arizona, so we had a business out there. We had 21 employees. Right. So we're out there working. My dad come out. My mom, she was living. So my dad decided he wanted to come out and check the job out, check what's going on, right? So it's actually new home construction developments, right? So basically a new home's being built. We had guys to go in and actually get the work done from house to house. They would go in, inspect, clean the whole nine. There's a lot of things going on with 21 employees working on 5 to 7 houses all at one time, right? So my dad came out. Scott, I tell you this, and Scott, don't be laughing about this, y'all. I want y'all laughing. Now, my dad came out the first time, and my dad, he just wanted to just sit back and just give a lot of instructions, directions. So I guess he felt like my dad ended up getting his retirement to under the can, stone container. You know, it was a huge company back in the day. So they didn't come out the box way back from like 20 years, right, out the box trying to give orders. So I thought that actually my brother and I, my cousin Carlos, was actually pretty much the business owners in a sense trying to get things done. But all of a sudden, they didn't put me to work in a sense, right? So he's telling me what to do, everything is wrong. Some things are good, but just some things are just off course, right? So I'm telling him. And the next day he comes back, he gives him more orders. I'm saying, Daddy, you just need to just calm down for a minute. Just calm down. And it's okay, I'd be quiet then. So I had to have a conversation with Scotty in the car. We pulled aside. I said, we got to have a meeting. We got to have a meeting. Got to meet with my daddy.
Hey, so, Daddy, so.
Hey,
it was good to be there. It was good to be there. Okay, sit down. But don't need you giving no instructions or directions.
Yeah, his job wasn't to work like this. Yeah, he over. He like David Jones. He don't have to play.
Right. So he's just going to take her the whole thing. He's going to run it. And not knowing that, he don't have no direction, no job plan. Or he just come out the box and giving the orders and instructions. And I said, listen. I said, like, Scott and I. So for some reason, he heard about the meeting, right? So we said, my brother, Scott, I said, listen, we got to find Danny. We got to find Danny. Danny can't work for us.
Danny heard us, and Danny was like, y'all ain't got to find me. I quit. He really told me that. He said, you ain't got to find me. I quit.
My dad did the Joe Jackson on y'all butt.
Right. Yeah,
he did.
He said,
right. So you didn't follow me now. He said, before we get in the pink slip, he already quit before we get the slip. Right. So what happened? So he going to get smart and he's not going all the time now. I'm going to get Leo with this. He was at him with my mom. My mom was at the house. Right. So my mom thinking he's going to go to work this day. So when David got back, he said, I don't care what I got to do. He said, I'm going to come to work. I'm not staying with your mom.
Man, he was already in the car. He was by the car. He stayed one day over there. Mama got him going. Shit. That next day, David was by the car before we come out there to go.
It was like 4 a.m. in the morning. Hey, work night was starting. He already getting his stuff ready to go to work. We 3 hours before we had to go to work.
Yeah, we come in. I went out and come in. But you know, you come in, you went out 2, 3, 4 in the morning, you in the refrigerator, you look. He come out, he thinking it's like 7, 8. And he like, I'm looking at him, he looking. Like, man, you need to go to bed. I'm going to go to bed. Dad's trying to go to work. Dad is staying that day in the house. He couldn't do that.
Yeah, but that's a prime example, guys, for I just want to put that little funny. It was serious, though. It was really serious. It got to the point that we had to have a meeting about finding my dad because my dad, look, he just in the way. He was in the way. He was in the way. Meanwhile, we had to fire on daddy. We had to fire. So I had to say that to let everybody understand that when you're doing a business.
Yeah, daddy wasn't farting at that child head going on. Daddy was shit. Y'all do that, you know?
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, there you go. Prime example that we have to, when you're doing a business, like you said, it does get to that point that for your business to keep moving, you have to, you can't hire your family. You got to be careful of that because, like I said a while ago, you can get interrupted with your plan that you have, that you know that
right.
Works, the way it works, you've seen it. And everybody
right.
Tell you, like, I've been doing this job. I was telling you about kind of the construction and then the work we had going on with moving the houses and cleaning. I've been doing that since I was a little boy. I'm just a neat freak. But so that was something I've been doing before. But what do you think, Himes? Himes, you here? Brandon Himes?
Yes, I'm right here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is what you were saying earlier. You had mentioned earlier, Himes, you were saying hiring employees is a risk. Despite the best resume and experience, right? You said employers must be driven. You did mention that about having that goal set. So what do you guys at? I'm
going
to give you three, and then we'll go to another. The driven and solid ethic, I'm going to give you another. And employers must, a lot of times, hiring your friends, not knowing they have to have drug tests and background checks. But go ahead. And safety issues, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, you know, just we have to, you know, see how that person can, you know, can drive the community. You know, along with their skill set, you know, I saw a message the other day. You might be mm-hmm. on the right path and still get hit by a truck. You
right.
know,
right.
we might think we hiring the right person, but it wind up not being
right.
successful. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a lot of things that goes into hiring. You know, and Ms. Gibson, she spoke on. She, you know, of course, she speaks on Grambling a lot. So we go back to when we hired Coach Broadway. back in 2007. Mm-hmm. Man, it seemed like he wasn't the right hire, but he brought us some championships and some winning seasons the 4 years he was there.
Right.
You know, and sometimes we you know, change sometimes, you know, distract people from the ultimate goal. I look at Alabama like Nick Saban. I wouldn't want my son going, you know, to Alabama the way he behaved on the sideline to his players, because I think, you know, it's disrespect, because those are not kids. Those are young men. Just because they made a mistake, you know, you can just set them aside to correct them, you know, about what they did. Now, if you want to, you know, I don't think you're supposed to do that anyway, but obviously he runs a tight ship over in Alabama. But he's the right guy for the job. You know what I'm saying? Obviously because they win it. You know, if the person can bring some wins in, and nobody's perfect in the first go around, you know, on their job. Even when, you know, you go all the way back when Eddie Robinson started coaching, he was successful. You go look at his records in the beginning of his, you know, when Grambling started playing football, he wasn't doing so well. Obviously he wasn't a football coach. He was a man of integrity, respect. And he was able to get, you know, the attention of the players, you know, on how the game was supposed to be played, is with integrity and responsibility, you know. But, you know, you have to be, like I said, you just have to be mindful of who you're going to hire. And like we talked about, just it got to be a thorough check, because you're dealing with not with just the football program, you're dealing with the whole, you know, university or the whole school district, you know, when doing so, because when that one coach or assistant coach, you know, do not, you know, do well, or something may happen off the field, it affects the whole school.
Yeah.
So be careful. You want to be a friend or your homeboy, and you know your homeboy got some stuff, his background ain't good, but you hire him anyway.
Right. Right. And I would say this, Scotty got a taste of Coach Robinson before. Scotty, we don't talk about it, I think Scotty, we came in, was one of the last groups that actually played with Coach Robinson. That's never, people don't talk about that. I think his year was, that was it.
Yeah, me and John Gizzy with that group. Me and Gizzy.
Okay. Okay.
I did 2 weeks with Eddie Robinson. He had me out there at the wing D. He would call me Anderson, and he was walking too. You know, I was out there with him like that. I had the number. I think I had 3 on or something. And they come got me. I was up here, Coach Howe. You know, Coach Howe used to take care of all that stuff. I was up there with them old school players. They had it set straight. But none of that now. I don't know what they got going on now. But it was, you know, they come got my spin for the Prop 48. The Prop 48.
Right.
Yeah, me and George, we were the last week. That was, you know, and then Doug come in. I was up there. Doug was in Morehouse. But, yeah, we were the last group. I was the last group. Me and George Griffin. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say this here. We talk about how the generation changed. All we got to change, you know, we have to change, you know, for us and how we handle stuff, like raising the kids.
Right.
Nothing has to change how you raise the kids, meaning how you prepare, you know, your program. You don't have to change.
Right.
The only thing changing is technology. You know, I didn't, like me and Scotty, no, we didn't need cone drills. We didn't need ladders to get us to where we was headed. We didn't need none of that. But by technology tricking everybody's brain to thinking that's what we need, like you got coaches, they look at social media, they just as worse as the kids or the young adults when it comes to technology. And it's like, I like Nick Saban because he is old school. I like the old school coaches. But, you know, all the, you know, yelling and stuff like that, I don't think I'll be able to handle. But some people may need that. But you don't have to change because, oh, we got to, you know, we have to meet the kids halfway. No, you don't have to meet that kid halfway. If this is your house, you're going to take your shoes off when you come to my house. You know
That's
what I'm saying? You know, you're going to leave your shoes on. No, this is my house. So, but the old school way, I don't think forth and discipline is what I'm getting at. The discipline factor. Mm-hmm. We don't have to change that because the only thing that's changing is just technology. That's everybody thinking mm-hmm. that, oh, we got to meet halfway. No, don't.
Well, if some of you say that, being a country boy, being out the country, people think, I used to have, now, I'm going to go way back, and there's guys could work out. All they needed is maybe, all we need is about 10 feet, 10 by 10 square feet. Guys would work out with center blocks, whatever it was. They would do pull-ups. It didn't matter. They did push-ups. What you got Herschel Walker right now doing, still doing crunches and setups, right? You did the basic things. You could run in place. Scotty used to run in place. You know, he can make a lot of noise, but Scotty, I don't know what Scotty's doing right now.
I jump rope my whole life. I did about 2,000-3,000 every day. But I never used one, which is, I don't know if you need to tell the kids, but I never used a jump rope, but I never could. I always, you know, mess up jump rope. I can't jump in there like they do in New York. Them kids be jumping. I can't do none of that. So I used to just jump straight up in place. And I give me some ankle weights, give me a boot. Anthony made a bag for me with some sand in it. And I jump straight up in place. You know, you still jump and rope. You don't have to have no rope to jump straight up and down. But you do it, you know, I did my jump rope like that. I never did. I go in the room or something. I never did have a jump rope. I just actually did it like that. But
on air.
You used to find ways, like in the jailhouse, they find ways. All them boys strong. They don't have no, it's just that these, you know, I've seen Hines throw the ball from Tech, like I said. I always tell people this. He threw the ball through the goalpost, man, from the 20 at Tech. And I wasn't the only first caller there. There's a few more boys diving there. But it's the want to, Stevie. You know, we used to go get daddy old time.
Nope.
Just tie a rope on.
Exactly. Exactly. A lot of that
have to come from you. You know, but you have to have the will, too. You could be coached all you want, but they have to want to do that, too, now. You know, it got to go both mm-hmm. way. We can't just blame the coaches every time on there. These boys got to want to play. You know, I see Stephen Anthony
right.
playing,
right.
and I wanted to play.
Right.
You used to want to, you know, you got to want to do it yourself, too.
Right. And you know what? We're going to get into a topic about this. I'm going to set a topic up probably next week that we can get in this and talk for just parents of athletes, male and female. We can talk about that and get into it just about how we all worked out. If you guys want to do that, I think that would be a great topic. And maybe we can get some of these collegiate athletes. Matter of fact, I can bring some collegiate athletes online and we can talk about that. But I want to, and so we can get on that next week. That's cool with you guys. We can do that. But I want
to. You used to run in the rain too. I want to tell them that I used to actually see you running in the rain, working out when I was little. But people don't see that stuff when you're on the field. See what I'm saying?
No, they don't. They don't. They
and
don't.
We're going to climb that barbed wire fence down there on the back. Y'all know what Coach Griffin works back down there, the little jailhouse fence thing. We used to climb that. Not, you know, you have to want to, too, you know.
Yeah, and going back to the Gibson set, like he said, you have to have somebody to teach you, too. You know, and that's where, Stevie, that's where
right.
we understood a lot of stuff because you were somebody who was teaching us, you know, on the back end when Doug and them, because the whole coach staff wasn't even from Grambling. You know, nobody don't know. Doug was the only coach, I think, on the staff from Grambling. Everybody else from Southern, FAMU, high school coaches. So, but who taught us too was you, but we had a want-to attitude. We wanted to get better. That was the thing back then. But like Ms. Gibson said, you have to have somebody to want to educate them. You know, that's athlete, student, you know, in the classroom. You have to have somebody to teach it. You have to have somebody to teach it, to educate it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but they too, also too, when you talk about Eddie Robinson, when you go back and look at Eddie Robinson's record, Eddie Robinson, there was no football team. See, Graham, Eddie Robinson came when it wasn't a football team. They hired him to create that. So when you look when you look at all that back there, it's like people said, "Well, he had a losing season." Well, that was no football. His season would be a losing season because there was no football. But yeah, guess how many losing seasons he didn't have? Because once he saw what everybody else was doing, he got it. So you kind of can't. I heard someone say, "Well, she told me, well, I don't think you've given this coach a chance because when Eddie Robinson came, he had a losing season." After when Eddie Robinson came, there was no football team. So you can't use him as the example. You can't use Eddie Robinson. There was no $400,000 offers and $300,000 offers. Eddie Robinson barely made $30,000. Go deeper in that history and find out if he came with $20,000. So you can't use him as no example and stuff. He came in, he lost, but guess what? He watched all the other schools. That's why he was able to come back those years after and win, because you see what I'm saying? So we have to, the kids do have to want it. They really, really do. But I get so sick and tired of people when someone come in losers, they want to say, well, Eddie Robinson was a loser. You got to go deeper, because when Eddie Robinson came, there was no football. It was only baseball.
What we're going to do, we'll get back onto that topic at some point, okay? But you're right in a lot of ways, Ms. Gibson. But one thing I would say, too, when you're dealing with a corporation as a CEO and that, et cetera, you're hiring people as skill set. It even said right here, I'm going to go back to it again now, whether you like it or not, okay? Do you see any truly competent workers, right? Being that, when you're performing, you hire these people, you have to perform at the big show, whatever show that may be, in front of people, you know, at the black tie events. You're meeting people at professional level, okay? You have conferences. You have to be able to show what you have. You have to be able to it's like this. When I had Scotty running routes, I would tell him, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen after you run this route. If you run over this way, this is going to happen to you. If you run it that way, this is going to happen. This is what to look for. Ran the same way. Okay, you teach it professionally. I'm not going to get into to grammar tonight, but I'm seeing blitzes coming before, and I'm looking and scratching my head like, okay, where is everybody at today? Did they go down somewhere else and go shopping, or are they playing football today? Because
nobody taught them which way to go. But
what I'm saying is, when Coach Robinson, I had to under the plan under professionalism, when we dressed and put our clothes on, when Coach Robinson stopped halfway down the road or where we're traveling, everybody was in suits. We had
sweats
on flat. Not putting on sweats and they can hang down to your pants, and then all of a sudden you're out walking like that, but you're supposed to be representing the school. Right?
Right.
So, and if you caught running down, if you caught going down to the lobby at the hotel without your sports jacket on, you had 50 stadiums. Now, for all you guys out there, young ladies and young men out there working out, I'm going to give you 50 stadiums. And I'm going to give you one stadium up and one down. Okay? That's one. Up and down is one. That's not two. Up and down is one. So really you run 100. And trust me, you ran them, or guess what, like Randy Hines was saying a while ago, are you going home? Because we have millions of athletes that will, you call them on the phone, say, guys, you want to play. Come up here, let's do a combine. Guess what, they're going to be there. You'll have 2,000, 3,000 athletes at Graham State University trying to get in there and play. Besides that, you have athletes right there that could play. You have guys, the former guys on the team, that play football that their kids could be playing. That's Gremlin that knows the history. But we're going to get into that topic some other time. But I just want to say the professionalism, like I said, you're going into that. Coach Robinson, I got that at Coach Robinson. I love that he did that because it make young men into men, okay, into gentlemen, because your appearance does matter. Also, too, now, these are some Rome employees
if the wrong employees are hired, the company suffers a huge risk. And that's what the gentleman said, Randy said that, Ms. Deborah Gibson Westbrook, Scotty Allen Jones, loss of businesses and customers. When you lose business and customers,
and
everyone knows that's finances now. Now you're looking sideways at everybody. Then you're going to get
right
back to yourself, and you're going to say, why did I take that path? Why I knew better? Why did I even take that chance? Why I knew it wasn't going to work. I knew deep inside of it. I was just giving some helping people. I knew it wasn't going to work, but I did it anyway. But now guess what? It's a major, major stain, okay? It's a stain on a white suit, right? But I've had stains. I've had some stains. But this is a major stain. When you knowing what you're doing, not somebody throw something on you. When you know what you're doing, it's different. Then you're saying loss of company profits, loss of company time, loss of company morale, need positive in the workplace. Alan, what do you think about the loss of company time? I think
is
Alan must be asleep. Alan probably knocked out. People are asleep on the mountain right now.
What did you say?
Alan Jones?
We were cutting out for a minute, that's all, but I got
okay
you now.
I was saying, what do you think about that? If the wrong employee is hired, the company suffers a huge risk. One, it says loss of businesses and customers, loss of company profits, loss of company time, loss of company morale, need positive in the workplace. So what do you think about loss of company time? What would you say about that? We'll give you like 2 minutes, and we'll go from there.
Sure. A matter of fact, that's what I was alluding to at the very first comment I made about the fit, because that fit, you may have like pretty much the skill set that can slide by under scrutiny, et cetera, et cetera. But if that person comes in and they're not with the culture in terms of, like you mentioned, well, you aren't dressing a certain way. You're popping off the customers at the wrong angle. You know, you're not being receptive to their needs and responsive to their requests. You're, you know, curt, you know, real short and whatever. You know, if you are not a good fit, like I mentioned, you know, we're engineer and a loner kind of oriented, but yet the company, the position you're in, is more socially oriented, meaning you need some of those social skills and some of those soft skills, which are absolutely skills, and you'll get called on them, that can sink a company. And I'll stop there to leave plenty of to go around
mm-hmm.
there. But the skill, we all know that can lead to disaster, you know, the basic job itself.
Right.
But everything that goes along with that can create just as much of a problem, if not
Randy,
more and quicker.
Randy, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I bet.
He was saying about the
matter of fact, the case in
time.
Point. That's why that coach
yes.
brought his team in, because he was familiar with them. He didn't want any anomalies and the non-fit to be
mm-hmm.
dipping in his Kool-Aid how he's running the team. But obviously
mm-hmm.
it still didn't work because he said they have a losing season. But that's why he wanted to bring his own team.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fit, that soft skill.
Right. Also, too, loss of company profits, finances. Randy, you want to talk about that, Scotty? Randy, profits, about lost company, how it can interfere, you know, in high friends or family or groups.
Yeah, you're going to lose a lot. I mean, I can go all day long on that part there, you know, for us with grammar. I feel like we don't.
That's why I shut it down quick.
Man, I'm just saying for us the success we've had, you know, even with our bad time, I think we are. I'm gonna just say this about the fight. I don't even like how we use HBCU schools as like a charity case. You know, that's the
right.
only thing that I like. I hate make a donation here, make a donation. And you don't hear that at other big universities. You know?
I love it. But
you
said,
I get to my nerves, make a donation. We're not no charity case.
Let me stop you one second.
I mean,
you remember I said the other day, I said, why can't this be the latest and greatest of HBCUs? That's where I want our university to be, because I want our university to be the state-of-the-art university, just as large as any other universities. Why can't we be like an Oregon State? When I say Oregon, because the CEO of Nike there, right? So he's doing a wonderful job. They're gonna bring the Olympics there next year, the next time. The Summer Olympics is going to be in Oregon. People don't even know that. It's going to be in Oregon. The Olympics. And I'm going to be in there.
$100 million school.
Why we can't get a billion? Hey, but you're right. Let's start there, right? So, but we're going to get back to that. We're going to make it happen because guess what? Because guess what? Everybody, like Ms. Gibson said, even Alan, Scotty, yourself, we can go all across the world. They know Grambling State University. I've been places.
Randy,
and people tell you this, and you start going through Alabama's and Mississippi's, you're going to go back to them seniors in there, they tell you about Grambling, because, and I'm talking about all different nationalities. Let me tell you why. In Alabama, Burr Bryant and Coach Robinson, they had a relationship in the search of with football. So this is just history in there that hadn't been, but we're going to get to it. We're going to get to it now. Some deep history back in the woods now. Positive history. So learning how
to... No, here's the thing.
We toured
in Tokyo, Japan in almost 25 days. And I'm so amazed who I am. I do what I do. These people, if you said LSU, Oregon State, USC, they was like, what? I said, okay, Grambling. Yes, Grambling. That's all they know overseas. That's all they knew was Grambling. You could call off Alabama. You could call off all these white schools, these major white schools. They didn't know it. As soon as you said Grambling, it was a hit. Period. That's just how it went.
And we have to get it back. We have to get it back on track. But, guys, I'm going
to
have to.
We got to.
Ms. Gibson, you have anything you want to say? Yeah. Well, go ahead, Randy. Go ahead. I'm going to give you like a 20 seconds, Randy. Go ahead, then I'll let you go. 20 seconds, Randy. Go ahead.
Grambling will be, I think, with the support that we have for us and with Grambling, I know the topic is about, you know, friends and family members, but I think Grambling will be back up and going like it will be, long as we support it like we should, just support it like we should, and I think we'll be fine, you know, once we get, you know, the support that we need, not for money, but just from the people, you know, because I'm like anybody else. I'm like, oh, man, you know, like when it's going to happen, but I believe it's gonna get back where it's going, and when it get back to rolling, it ain't gonna stop. That much I can tell you, because I'll be on the sideline.
I love it. I love it. But, and in fact, I love it because what Randy's saying is true in a lot of senses, and we'll get back to that because the fact is, Grambling come from a winning tradition.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we're not gonna sit back in the leftovers. I don't care.
I'm gonna say this. I'm going to say this year. So though,
okay.
When I started being online with a few weeks into the season, those two games when we blew out them people, Alcorn and Pine Bluff, I was coaching on the sideline.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was coaching on the sideline. Now, I don't have no control, you know.
Need to get out there,
I don't have no control who they put in and put out. But what happened was, to go back to Ms. Gibson, what she said, and
okay.
I know this, Ms. Gibson. I know it's about educating them. They can't have them out there blind, and so that's why we booing people 35-6, 36-10. You know, obviously we, you know, I think when we let up against Texas Southern when we found out that Prairie View beat Pine Bluff,
what you're saying, and our time going around, let you guys go, but what you're saying, Rand, is what we've been saying from day one. What you're saying is you're saying from day one, it shouldn't take, if you come in supposed to be a professional and understand the game, it shouldn't have to take you to go out there and lead these guys in the right direction. But you are professional, and why can't you listen to your advice from day one, right? But again, You're absolutely right, and we've been seeing the difference, and thank you for what you're doing, and everyone else that's promoting and
so
pushing them in the right direction.
It do go back to what who. It do go back to who's leading the dance. So, yeah, Ms. Gibson, you're right about this, too. Yeah, you have when you show up, they winning, like I said. And it's who they want to follow, too, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that's
who they want to follow.
Right.
Like, the classic game, the quarterback has had a bad day. Like, you know, which he got to get strong.
I don't
weight room, and he got to get stronger. So.
Right. But I'm going to say this is that thank you guys for calling in the show. We were strong for a good 45 minutes. We got off to we're gonna get back into football. So I'm gonna set something up for sports next topic. But I'm glad you all called in. Thank you for calling in the philosopher, the encryption of all encryptions that studied it in ENT North Carolina A&T. That's Alan Jones. We'll talk about that later. But I'll let you guys go. Thank you guys for calling into the show. All right, guys. I'll let you guys go. Time is up.
I'm still
to the day
y'all talking about it. I'm
going to
see
it again.
I'm
going to
tell
you. I got a few friends
in A&T.
You hear that, Alan?
They must be good.
Yeah,
I got a few boys to play with up there. Yeah, shall do.
Yeah. So, Randy, thanks for calling in. Randy Hines, Baltimore Ravens, thanks for calling in, Randy. No problem. All right. Yep. Scotty Anderson, Scotty Ken Anderson, thanks for calling in. I was going to name him Keith, but he gave me decided to name him Ken. So, Scotty Ken Anderson, my younger brother, thanks for calling in. And hope to catch you next show, Scotty. All right.
And a love from California.
Yes, rub it in.
Alan Jones. Thanks for calling in, Alan. Thanks for calling in.
You got it. Good night.
All right. Good night. Miss Gibson Westbrook.
Yes,
good night.
Sir.
All right.
Good night, sir.
Good night. Guys, hope you guys enjoyed the show. Thanks for your callers that called in. We all helped the world tonight. A lot of CEOs that needed this information. Guys are hired at high positions from small businesses. We had some very professional people that participated into the show tonight. Very extreme knowledge about how things operate and some comments. Please pay attention to the comments. Please pay attention to what the listeners and the co-hosts broke down in the call in tonight. Please listen to that, guys. It's very, very important. Very, very important. Do not shy away from this information. Be careful of hiring your friends, family, or groups, knowing they don't have the skill set for the position. So, again, we're going to break down a topic more like the athletic side, because these guys want to share some information athletically, their skill sets for a lot of the parents, athletes, male and female, coaches of all positions. It could be business-wise, sports-wise. We're going to get involved in that real soon. So, again, hope you guys enjoyed the show. And good night.